Tucker said, if Barack Obama said this, we'd be calling him a dictator and demanding he be impeached. Joining me now, John Lott, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, author of The War on Guns. You can check him out at crimeresearch.org. So, John, when you heard the president say, take the guns first, due process later, did your head explode?
My head didn't explode. You know, here, my reaction is Trump's not an ideologue. Trump is kind of the type of guy who's very, you know, he's action-oriented. He wants to solve these problems. And I kind of blame a lot of the people around him for not properly providing him information on these types of things. You know, he wants to know. So, like, my understanding is when the NRA had lunch with him last Sunday, they basically said, you know, right, Second Amendment, things like that. I don't think Trump cares about that. I think Trump cares about what will work and what doesn't work. And so, you know, if you want to have these types of restrictions on people being able to own guns, you have to go to him and say, will it work? What's the evidence? You know, raising the age to 21. Yeah, I understand the reaction that people have. You see something bad that happened. You just think if I just take the gun away or make it so people under 21 can't own guns, then the problem will disappear. You don't see the fact that maybe there are 20-year-old women who are being stalked that may want to have a gun defensively. There's pluses and negatives about every gun law that you can bring up. And the issue is we've tried raising ages before. We have a 1994 law which essentially made it you have to be 18 to buy a rifle. What happened? Did it reduce crime? Well, there's academic research. There's basically no one that found a benefit from it. So, you know, why should we expect increasing it to 21 is going to do it? You know, that should be the type of discussion I think that would appeal to Trump and would, help advance the ball.
Pam Bondi, who's the attorney general in Florida, was talking about GVROs. What are they, and what is your opinion as whether they would work?
Right. So these are gun violence restraining orders, and what they do is if you believe somebody is a danger to others or themselves, then you can go and take away their gun. But if you really believe, you know, and they'll use terms like, do you really believe that this guy is a danger to others? If you really believe somebody's a danger to others, simply saying you can't legally go and buy a gun, it's not a real solution. I mean, these types of mass public shootings, they plan these at least 6 months in advance, a year often, 2 years. The Newtown killer was planning his attack 2.5 years before the attack. You know, yesterday I gave a talk at the Penn State Law School, and one of the questions I just kind of threw out to the students, I said, if I said you had a day to buy illegal drugs, well, how many of you think you could buy illegal drugs in a day? And about 80% of the students indicated that, sure, they could go and do that. And the thing that most people don't seem to think about is that the same people who sell illegal drugs sell illegal guns. The drug dealers have guns to protect their valuable property. And so, you know, if you really are serious, just saying the guy can't legally buy a gun isn't a solution. You have to go and restrain them in some way. And, you know, I know that means prior to the 1970s when the Supreme Court stopped people from doing that, and there were abuses. Well, let's try to write some legislation that would go and try to deal with the abuses, if that's what you want to do. But so many of these things I just don't view as serious. I think they see something, there's some reaction, they want to do something, but they don't think of the problems. And so here we have Florida, they're going to have one armed guard in each school, and it's going to cost them like $500 million to go and do that each year. You know, having one uniformed officer in a school is like to stop one of these attacks is like an impossible job. The first person targeted, if you're going to have an attack, is going to be that person. There's no way they can be on their toes day after day, week after week, month after month. You know, you're in an elementary school or a middle school. I mean, it's an incredibly boring job to be there in order to try to go and guard the place. And, you know, having somebody in uniform is like putting somebody there with a neon sign that says, shoot me first. What you need to do is have a backup plan, because all these other things that they're talking about, even if they work the way they think that they're going to work and they're not, you're going to have slippage through the system. People are going to get through that they're not going to be able to identify. And what's their backup plan? You need to get rid of these gun-free zones. I've been talking about this for 20 years. You know, these people target places where they believe victims are relatively easy to attack. And you know, we have 25 states now that to varying degrees allow teachers and staff to carry. There have been no problems. All the claims about horrible things that would happen haven't occurred. One thing that is true, though, in none of these places where staff and teachers are allowed to carry has there been a mass public shooting. Because you take away the strategic advantage that these killers have. It's not like an officer who's in uniform that they can take out first. If they start going in there, they don't know whether it's somebody behind them or to the side. They don't know who they have to go after first in order to try to stop somebody who could stop them.
John, let me ask you, though, about... I take your point, and this as you say, there are many school districts that are allowing teachers or staff to have access to a gun inside to defend themselves. And personally, I think it's a good idea too. But what about what Tucker said? What he said? What when Trump said, "Seize the guns first, due process later." If that was Obama, we'd be talking about him as a dictator and talking about impeachment. Did you take it as seriously as Tucker did?
Well, Obama did do stuff like that. I don't know, maybe Tucker was calling for his impeachment, but so for example, we have rules, if a veteran has help with his finances, they have their name put in the NICS system and they're banned from being able to buy guns. At the end of the Obama administration, they put in a rule that would have prevented about 4.2 million people on Social Security from owning guns because they get help on their finances. That was getting help on your finances was defined as saying that you were mentally deficient. My mom, who's in her 80s, she hates using computers. She has my sister has been given power of attorney to go and pay her bill. Under the Social Security rules, my mom would have been declared mentally deficient and would have been banned from being able to have a gun. But just because my mom hates using computers doesn't mean that she's not mentally competent to be able to decide whether something's a threat and whether she's able to go and defend herself or not.
John Lott has been on this case for God knows how long. I seem to remember first talking to him maybe in the mid-90s. He's the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. He's the author of The War on Guns. You can check him out at crimeresearch.org or johnrlott.blogspot.com. johnrlott.blogspot.com.
But the crime research is .org is the better place to go, but right. I appreciate that.
Well, John, appreciate your time as always, and I hear your frustration here, and I think you're not alone.
Well, I just don't understand. I mean, I want to do something, but let's do something that's related to these things. I mean, I don't understand why people can come out in an hour or so after an attack and be talking about laws that we need to have before they even know what happened in the case. And then it turns out that the laws that they're pushing have nothing to do with the attack time after time. And, you know, nobody in the media goes and asks them and says, okay, well, you want this law. Can you name me one attack, let's say this century, that would have been stopped if we had had these...
John Lott, thanks.
Thank you for listening to GCN.